880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody, we are here. We are live at the Sacred Space in Wynwood in Miami. We've got the Show Viv Love 2017 event here at Sacred Space. It's great. The place is filling up with all kinds of friends. Alina, come on, sit down. Everybody, come on. Everybody can sit down wherever they want. Alina, you want to sit up there? That's fine. And we're going to have a great show. We've got Alina Villasante. We've got Ari Seitner. Alina is the founder of Peace Love World. She's going to talk about spirituality, how that helped her build her business, and be here to answer questions about people. We've got Ari Seitner here. Ari is the famous author. He's the Huffington Post blogger. Ari is also a very special person. He's a living kidney donor. Of course, we've got Vivian Freed. And I want to, of course, thank our hostess, Carla Daskal. Carla, thank you so much for bringing the sacred space to make it available and having all this beer, wine, and beautiful food. But the spiritual support is what's most important. So we're going to have a great event today. There's going to be no commercials. It'll be a two-hour special broadcast for Freed on Business, and I'm going to get started right now. Before I start, I want to say that this event is not about me. This event is about you. Everybody here, this event is about you, not me. We're having the event to educate and to motivate. So it's to educate and motivate and to create excitement and awareness. So let's get started. Honey, you could sit up there. Sit there. It's fine. Come on. I did. I told you to come up there. You could sit there. You could sit there. I don't care. It's all fine. Come on in. All right. We've got a great guest today. All right. So let's start with our story. What I want to do is first I want to talk about how I start each day. Come on, honey. You could sit up front. I start each day by going on Facebook and checking the messages, because I run Facebook ads. Or one of the things we're raising funds here tonight for is to pay for those Facebook ads. The Facebook ad I'm running right now has reached over 250,000 people. It's been shared 3,200 times. Probably 50 people have told me off that ad that they want to donate. And so far, nobody's come through all the way to the end. So everybody who thinks that this may be easy, it's really not. It's very difficult to find somebody who's willing to give the gift of life. Hey, Pete, come on in. Lovely. Thank you for coming. And I want to thank everybody else for coming, too. So I start every day by checking the messages. And I could go through a bunch of them right now, but they're on my phone. And it says, I'm A positive, I want to donate. I'm O positive, I want to donate. I'm A negative. Some people say I have diabetes, they can't donate. They all tell me what's going on, and I all refer them to Renewal. Who's Renewal? Renewal is a group of spiritual people. That's Ari. By the way, Gary, you're going to have to reset the thing in one more slide. Ari is a living donor, and he works with me to bring spirituality and awareness. The Renewal people up in New York are a group of spiritual people that help guide the people that are interested in donating, because it's not an easy decision. Come on in, everybody. Come on in and sit down. Come on in. Come on in. Place is just filling up. And I know we're all on Miami time, but I got to be on the radio. I got to be live, and I got to be on time. So I check the messages. Then I do a whole bunch of posts. A lot of people have seen my posts. If you follow me on Facebook, or you just are interested in kidney donation or whatever, you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook, and you'll see my posts. And all the posts include green hearts. And the reason that the theme here is green is because green is the color of transplantation. And so if there she is, that's why we're here today. And so that's why I use green. And then the next thing I do is I have to make ice. I have to make special kind of ice for Vivian, because Vivian can't drink water. She has to drink ice to calm her thirst. And, you know, in order for her to drink ice, she can't really do it, eat ice. She can't really do it off of a regular ice cube. It has to be worn down so that it doesn't hurt her teeth. and it's really something that I prepare every day for her. And then I wake Vivian. Our wall is just a bunch of different stickies that tell the different times that she has to get up. 6 o'clock, 6:15, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 8:15. It all depends on what's going on, but at least three times a week, I have to wake her up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to dialysis. So you imagine if you're plotzing, or I'll use a better word, if you're really wiped out and you're nauseous and you're not feeling well, and suddenly you got to get up again. Adam, thank you so much for coming. We love you guys. I know there's a lot of traffic coming south. I can't thank you enough. And thank you for coming with Adam. All right. And so I wake Vivian up, and even though she's not feeling good, she's an inspiration to me every day, because no matter how bad she feels, she rolls over, puts her foot into the ground, and goes to dialysis. And I'm telling you, you've seen the post where she's full of bags. What do you put in those bags, honey? Okay, it's water, it's food, it's things that are salty to keep her blood pressure up. And recently she had a really bad day where her blood pressure, she had to take so much caffeine that she was like speeding and losing her concentration. But we'll get to some of that a little later. And so I wake Vivian up. And Vivian starts with ice, and she puts her foot down and goes. I guess I don't really need notes. And, you know, I want to talk about how this all started. This started January 3rd, 2014, when the lady that takes care of Vivian, and she's here today. Okay, there she is. I don't want to embarrass her. But she takes care of Vivian. She makes sure that everything's going on. And when she was leaving the house one day at 3 o'clock, she couldn't find Vivian, and there was Vivian on the floor in septic shock. And anybody who knows what septic shock can just imagine what was going on. Vivian had literally lost her mind and was hours from dying. In fact, if she hadn't been found, she might not have been there when I got home at 7 o'clock at night. I might have been... Yeah, exactly, Stan. So that's what happened, and we got her to the hospital, and the first thing that she said after she got dialysized was, "Oh my God, what happened? I can see clearly now." So that's our theme song, is "I Can See Clearly Now." And there you're seeing it roll by. You know, email r1125@renewal.org if you want to be a kidney donor and be tagged for Vivian. That's the kidney donation link. And since she started getting dialyzed 3.5 years ago, a long time ago at this point, a lifetime ago, longer than I've been in college, she has not missed a single treatment. And you go, why is that important? Because a person who's got active kidneys, their kidneys are cleaning their blood constantly. But a person that's on dialysis, the minute that they stop the dialysis machine, their body starts to become poisoned again. And Vivian is fragile. Most people get dialyzed 3 times a week. Vivian gets dialyzed 6 days a week. And if there was a seventh, she'd go the seventh. And her body, I got to tell you, is giving out. Her place, the access point that took 7 surgeries. Lyle, come on in. I hope you brought the judge with you. We love you. I got distracted for a second. The fistula took many, many surgeries to get it to work right. A lot of times the person's hand won't work right. We went to one of the best doctors over on the beach, and he finally got it to work right. And Vivian, you know, now that thing is starting to get worn, and there's a lot of scar tissue. And so every time they pinch her, which means when they stick a needle in her, it's very uncomfortable. And I know when she's having a super bad time, because I start to get the texts and the emojis, and I stop whatever I'm doing, and I make sure that she gets texted and emojied, and I send a lot of those jib jabs. I'm really good with jib jab. And hopefully it helps my little girl smile. That's her up there. When I first met her, that was the cover of her portfolio when she was a model. And, you know, I tried. People say, "Jim, how come you're losing so much weight?" It's because I got tested, and I keep getting tested, because I'm pre-diabetic. That's right there is all the, these are all living donors. In the middle, you see Ari with all the living donors. Those are a bunch of donors that got together at a renewal event in New York. And so I can't donate. I tried many times, and I'm just not capable. You've got to be almost perfect. In fact, if you get to be a kidney donor, you're probably in a good round to get life insurance, health insurance, and disability. Because when you've been checked that tough, they all know that you're perfect already. physically. You're perfect in many other ways, Ari. You're spiritually perfect as well. I love you, man. So there's been a number of people. I want to give you the history of Vivian's search for a donor. We had originally waited 18 months. Somebody who was a perfect match and who was a friend of mine and Vivian's, or parent friend, for 18 months told us they were going to donate. And I didn't know anything about this, and I was in a rather, I was in a career situation that was crucible, to say the least. And so I didn't focus. I had to let it go. I believed this person was going to do it, and I let Vivian run the process. That's strike two, because Vivian can only really do one thing. Even though she's an urban hunter-gatherer and likes to go to all the stores to get all the different things, really all she can do is go to dialysis. And so I waited 18 months for this person to show up, and finally I called the ball on them, and they admitted that they could never get their husband to say okay and that they weren't going to donate. I don't really carry a grudge. I'm a forgiving person, but I must admit I did defriend that person from Facebook. Then we had another donor that I identified one night around New Year's, right after we had gotten that first donor, said they couldn't do it. I went on Twitter and I said, the heck with it, I'm trying anything. I sent a tweet at 1:30 in the morning, and it was answered by a woman in Austin. And she came and brought her whole family, and I want to thank, I've got, a hotel was given by Bobby Finvarb, a hotel room for this woman, and my good friend Neil Freeman provided the transportation for her. This is before I knew about Renewal, who will help facilitate the transportation costs for somebody now. And we got them down here, brought her whole family because she wouldn't travel alone. She tested. She was a perfect match. March 10th of that year, we had it scheduled. It's almost, it's 2.5 years ago now, Viv. March 10th, we had a date. And a couple of weeks later, we found out that the woman couldn't do it because they gave her a gene test. And she was strong on this gene test. And because she had just immigrated from Africa, she was very strong on a gene that people from Africa all have. It's called the APOL1 gene. And the gene indicates that you'll be high risk for high blood pressure. But it was originally to protect people from waterborne diseases in Africa. So it doesn't do anything. But it was God's hand in the making, because even though she wanted to give and could give and she opted out, 3 months later she had gallbladder problem. So we thank God that the woman didn't donate, because the first thing, like I said, it's not about us, it's about everybody else. So that was the second person. A couple of weeks ago, I got a text. I was in an event. Vivian said that she had to go on, that was on a Wednesday. That Friday, she was supposed to go to UHealth because she needed to get cross-matched with somebody. Outside of the renewal process, on Facebook, I found a woman in the service industry, we don't know her, who just volunteered. That's how strong of a spirit this person was. I never talked to the person. She went through UM, which was very hard. They got her down here. I was given a form to fill out to pay for her transportation, but I make too much money, so I couldn't pay. You know, it's the middle class crucible that we sometimes may need to talk to the president about. I have a friend here who regularly talks to the president. I love you, Huli. I'm sorry, I got distracted. And so it didn't work out. And the person, Vivian was on her way, she was running late because she wasn't feeling well that morning. And the person, she called in and they said, don't bother coming. The person just got rejected. I'm not going to say why the person got rejected. You never know. All this happens totally apart and away from you. But because I found the person and we were friends on, not friends on Facebook, you got to leave the people completely alone. You can't influence them. There's a whole ethical issue and other issues too. And so, excuse me, I'm getting myself back together. So the person didn't match, but she told me why. I won't express why, but so that didn't work. So every time I send these ads out, I get lots of people to respond. Some of them are legitimate. Many of them aren't. The person has to go through incredible psychological testing to see if they're giving it for the right reason. They'll find out if you're paying somebody, and they won't allow that. They won't allow you to buy body parts. People go to me, why don't you go overseas? I don't really understand the process overseas, and what if there was a problem? A friend of mine recently, you don't even know this, honey. A friend of mine recently got a kidney transplant at Cleveland Clinic. They went there away from UM, and they got a kidney that was damaged, but they repaired it at Cleveland Clinic. They transplanted it. And now the guy's in the hospital having problems because that kidney has kidney stones. So you never know. And so we can't go to a place that we don't know and trust. It's either going to be UM or New York Presbyterian. Hey, Howard, New York Presbyterian is up in New York, and that's where the renewal transplants go. And let me tell you about our trip. Hey, Karen, we love you, baby. Oh, Norma, we love Norma, too. And so I'm getting ahead of myself. So I've had probably 100 offers. No one's pulled through yet. And I'll tell you something that Vivian doesn't know. About a month and a half ago, I got a call from somebody that I don't even know. Actually, it was a LinkedIn hit. And the LinkedIn hit said that there was somebody passing away in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, and that they didn't know any, they were going to donate the organs. And we were all teed up. They had all the information. They were going to work with us. But I don't know how to say this nicely. The person, when they passed, had such a high level of toxicity that they couldn't give any of their organs. All they could give was their skin. This was a month ago. You don't even know this is going on. When I'm a maniac, sometimes that's what's going on. There's another person. Vivian doesn't know this, and I'm just going to say it. There's a friend of a friend of, there's a brother of a friend of a friend somewhere, I'm not going to say where, that right now is lying with very low brain function. And those people reached out to me. And I'm not saying anything's going to happen, because we've been up and down, left and right, all the time. But I wanted to give people a little bit of an insight. Thank you so much for coming. And that's the most important person here, beautiful young man. Thank you so much. What's your name, sir? Josh? Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Steve, thanks for bringing him. God bless you, Steve. All the support that I get, the people here, all the support I get, it's what keeps me going, because this isn't easy. And like I said, this isn't about me. So, you know, there's a process that I have to manage. I use the renewal people to help me because it's impossible. I was getting dinged. I was on the phone one time with it before the renewal. I was on the phone with a guy who said, I found you on Facebook. I want to donate. We talked for an hour over Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. Howie, I love you. I love you so much, Howie. Thank you so much for coming. And I hung up. The guy said, I'll call you back. I've got to go. I'm a security guard. I have to go on my rounds. Called me back 15 minutes later and asked me if I could deliver him a pizza. He was homeless. He was bullshitting me. I guess I can't say that, but I just did, because we're on the radio. So they'll delete that, maybe. And so that's an example, just a little bit of what we go through. She doesn't do that. So I managed the process, and yeah, I still got to work and make a living. So some of our sponsors that are up there today, I did absolutely nothing for them on a transaction, some of them, and they paid me a commission anyway. That's Certus, my friend Troy Cox, who I've known for 30 years. What a beautiful person he is. He said, Jim, you go do your thing. I'm going to pay you a commission. There's no broker on this deal. I'm going to pay you. And the real estate guys, that's the first time you've ever heard that. There's nothing that's ever happened like that. It's nothing that's ever happened like that. And I've had other clients that have done very similar things. My partner, Bob Gutlawn at Spectrum, he does every deal. All I do is find him. He does everything else. And I want to thank Bobby and Milvia and Millie and Yuli that make me comfortable at that office down at Spectrum. And I get the same stuff from the Lombardi family at my place I throw my stuff down in Wynwood. Everybody that's in my life is part of an amazing ecosystem of support. This is not written down, Ari. Amazing ecosystem of support that I have. So it was Valentine's Day this year. And Vivian, hey guys, can you roll the video again? It was Valentine's Day this year, and Vivian and I went to New York. It was cold. I had a nasty cold. It was day three of that three-week cold that everybody had during, you know, everybody knows, we all had that cold. And I got on a plane. I was feeling like dog poop. And people go, well, what did this use for? Vivian can't travel. Vivian is getting dialyzed every day. But when I take her on the road, I can only get it done every other day. So we can only go out of town for a day. So we had to go on Tuesday. Monday, she got up and got dialyzed. at 5. We traveled on Monday. We had to go first class because she needs the access on board, and she needed to sit in that first chair with all the big head, the big stuff. Never traveled first class before. I am a first class guy, but not, I don't, you know. Anyway, so she's a first class girl. So we get on and the last person on, he's running. They're almost closed the gate on the door on him. It's a rabbi who's building a yeshiva in Aventura. And so he comes on halfway through the flight. He goes to the flight crew. Would you mind if I say prayers? And he says, and they say, no, go ahead. And this is right next to me. He's standing right next to me in a little galley in the front. And I go, do you mind if I join you? So I prayed to God at 30,000 feet that we should have a successful trip. And we went up, and it was Valentine's Day, and Vivian was dressed from head to toe in that peace, love, world with the red hat and the white outfit, you know. And she got up at 5:30 in the morning to go where she didn't know where. I was dead. I was sick as a dog. You all know what it's like, okay? And I was in New York without all my support stuff. It was horrible. So Vivian got up. It was freezing cold. It was below freezing that morning. This girl's from Miami. She's never been that cold in her life. Probably it was the coldest day in her life. She gets out there, goes on, you know, it's a $3 cab ride. $15 later, the guy drops her off in the wrong location, right? And what happened?
Everything says peace, love. I love everything. And somebody stops and goes, can I take a picture of you? The Kardashians wear that clothes.
So the nurses at the hospital wanted to take pictures, and then they ushered her in to what was perhaps the most difficult dialysis of her life. And I wasn't there. You go, where was Jim? Let me tell you where I was. That rabbi who was supposed to leave that morning at 10 o'clock stayed and took a flight out at 6. We went to 700. The place where all of the Lubavitch go, to the epicenter of the Lubavitch. And I went there and I prayed. I don't have any of the pictures up. And I prayed my heart out. I cried. It turned out that the guy that I met, his uncle, ran the whole thing. So after we were done there, we went to the holiest place outside of Israel for American Jewry, which was the Ohel, the place where the Rebbe is buried, and the Rebbetzin also. And I not only prayed at the Rebbe's gravesite, I went to the Rebbetzin's gravesite because you should only have her strength and her power and be able to support me the way she supported him in his effort to change the world. Because remember, I'm not here about me. I'm not here about Vivian as much as I'm here about everybody else. We're here to help change the world. If I can change one world, beautiful. If I can change more worlds, even better. And why is Alina here today? Because Alina changes the world too. We're going to talk about that in a little while. I love your shirt, by the way. That's great material. Now, Alina. The other day, Vivian is always dreaming big, and sometimes I feel like not so big. And she goes, stop it, Jim. We have to dream big. You always have to dream big. And so, what is dreaming big? Dreaming big is on the stage here. Dreaming big was she says, you know, Alina Villasante is my person that keeps me going. I wrap myself in all of her spirituality, and it helps me get through the hardest times. So when I had an event, I wanted to make sure that I had somebody who could talk about spirituality in a level that really, really, really rises to the occasion that we're here today. And that's why you're here, Alina. And then Ari Seitner, who I'm hoping I say the name right, because I always I think dyslexic half the time. I'm going to hit a home run for Vivian. I hope Howard can see that. Howard, home run sculpture just for you. And so, Ari, one time, Vivian, I come home, I'm dead tired, don't feel so great usually myself. Busting my behind. That's why it's split in the middle, you know? And so she goes to me, you got to see this guy. He's a living donor. I go, who is this Ari Steiner? I swear to God, you were Ari Steiner until I finally tweeted you and had to spell your name. And I go, she goes, he's a living donor. I go, I've met a living donor. AJ's a living donor. I have other people that there are actually living donors that live in Miami that I've met a few of them. They're beautiful people. Real estate guy. I couldn't believe it. And so, Jeff, if you're listening, thank you for being a living donor there, okay? And I also want to send a shout out to David, who just got a kidney. David is tight with Johnny. So, David, if you're listening, God bless you, too. See, there's Wonder Woman right up there. And so that's one of the jib-jabs that I sent her. And I saved that one. And so we dream big. She goes, Ari is my spiritual hero for being the kidney donor. He's changing the world with his message, and he touches me. It would be so wonderful to one day meet Ari. There's the Peace, Love, World bed where Vivian goes. It's true. That's where she goes to repair herself. Right there, she has special pillows I have to put out. They're not so pretty, so I didn't put them. That's us at Dodger Stadium at a bar mitzvah. At a bar mitzvah a few years ago at Dodger Stadium. That's where we're going to party like it's that day, every single day of our life. Ari, you're a true hero. And so that's who's here today. And now I want to talk about what I do. I've tried it all. I've tried it all. Facebook, the post I have on Facebook now has had over 250,000 views. It's been shared 3,200 times. I guarantee you if I counted the people on that posting that said that they were going to volunteer a kidney, there are over 100. Honey, can we be present, please? Okay. I mean, I showed her on 60 Minutes how that stuff's addictive, and she still won't stop. And so, Facebook, that's part of what this fundraiser is for, is I'm going to blow the living you-know-what out of Facebook with a new ad. You're going to watch it. It's going to rock the world. And it's worked. It found that woman from Austin. We got on TV. Christy Krueger got us. We got on TV thanks to our friends from Boardroom PR. Thank you so much for getting us on. And we want to thank the folks from Levy Communications also for helping me and being so beautiful and supportive. Whenever I'm at an event, the Levy Communication people always help me out. And I know that the PR family has gotten together here to help us make our event. I want to thank you guys so much. We love you. We love you. And so Twitter, Instagram, I still haven't really figured out Instagram. The only thing I know about Instagram is people don't talk back to you. They just like everything. WTF is with liking. WTF is with the liking. Beth, I love you. Thank you for coming. I met Beth Bloom when I was campaigning for student government on the Plaza of the Americas, and somehow I introduced her to one of my friends, and they got married. You know, Beth, I was supposed to start dating you that night. All right. Events. We want to thank the people at Merrick Manor who, out of their own heart, they just threw an event. I couldn't believe it for no reason. We barely even know them, and they threw us a beautiful event with a bunch of realtors. I had the Shuls. The guys from Renewal came down. We had an event at the Shul of Bell Harbor, at the Shul of Midtown, at the Shul of Brickell, and still we didn't get donors. In fact, at some of those events, the guys would come up or the ladies would come up. Oh, my God, Ronnie, and oh, my God, I love you. I love you, Donna. Donna, of all the people in the room, I've known Donna since I was 10, 11 maybe. She still looks gorgeous. Ronnie, you're a lucky guy. And so, you know, I stood there and I heard people talking about how they wanted to donate, how we got to do this. And I wouldn't even turn around. I wouldn't turn around because I didn't want to know who it was, because I didn't want to impact them. I didn't want to influence them. You know, desperation has a way of turning people off. So I had to walk away while A.J. Gindy went to hard close on all of them. High five to A.J. But who knows? None of them stood up for Vivian. And then today's event. We're surrounded by love, Vivian. You want to know who loves us? Come on. Christine, even. We love you all. Look, you're surrounded by love, Vivian. And so today's event, I have to thank again Carla Daskal and her entire events coordination team here at the Sacred Space, the trendiest event space in Miami, served up at the highest level, sparing virtually no expense. It's readily apparent. The level of catering and beverage service that they provided, the beautiful event space, is just amazing. Anybody who wants to have an event, that's right, it's all about that beautiful girl. That's who I met. That's her from her modeling pictures. That's the girl I fell in love with. And this is the woman that I still love to this day. Thank you. I go on the radio. On the radio, I blast it out to everybody. Then I repurpose the content constantly. Constant content. Where's Sandy? Sandy, who is my mentor and my partner in getting the word out. Sandy Abbott, the top constant contact person in town, who helps me get my message out in many formats, business, and most importantly, this one. Sandy handcrafted the event thing that you got, the Sacred Space created that ad, and then Sandy formatted it and helped me get it out. And thousands, tens of thousands of people have seen it. And Sandy, the crowd here today is because of you. Thank you so much. And the radio, I go on YouTube with this stuff. I don't know how to use YouTube, but Robert Pitts does. And he posts it up and he edits it up. So I look good on YouTube. And posters. We made posters. Our friends at Bagels and Company put up the posters. They're always at all the shuls. And that's what we're doing. So people go, Jim, why do you got to raise money? Well, we don't have to talk about the gaps of the Affordable Care Act. We don't have to talk about the terror that is in the heart of everybody with an existing condition. But I can tell you this, that having that money in the bank helps Vivian feel comfortable. It helps me feel comfortable, which helps Vivian feel comfortable. I only use it on her stuff. It's off of one card. She has to tell me what she's going to use the card for, and then I give her the card. And what do we use the card for? You know I love you, bro. I love you. I love you. You know, when I sent these emails, I knew who was going to come. She uses them for colonics. You know, Vivian hasn't, I'm going to tell. It's up there. Vivian hasn't gone to number one in a long time, and the colonics help her go the other way. Her hair is falling out. Her teeth are having problems. We got all kinds of co-pays. It's probably $2,000-$3,000 a month that I spend. And that's beyond the fact of the home health, the home care she has to make. And the insurance, even though we have ACA, is $1,000 a month. And she has to eat the perfect renal diet. You know, she goes to dialysis, and there's other patients there. The people sitting next to you, what, they eat Doritos? That's the happiest day of my life right there. The second happiest soon. The happiest will be when she gets a new lease on life. And you go in there, and the people don't have legs. Some of them are blind. One guy has stuff on his hands because he hits himself the whole time. And they're all in there eating crap. Crap. And their body can't get rid of the crap. And these are going to kill them. Vivian eats perfect renal diet. Unbelievable. You know, two pieces of fish, whatever it is, whatever she wants. I don't even know what half of it is because she's the urban hunter-gatherer. She goes out and finds it wherever it is, and she makes sure that she's got what she needs. And that's what you're doing. You're making sure that Vivian's got what she needs. That's what you're doing. And, of course, for all the ads, now I'm going to blow it up on Facebook, Twitter. I may even figure out how to advertise on Instagram, although I'm going to get her likes. What the hell is with that? Okay. How we found Renewal is an amazing story. You know, for many, many years, I worked in an organization, and we went out and we represented that we would equity invest in transactions. And a gentleman from New York called me and said, would we equity invest in his transactions? And I said, I'm not sure, but, you know, he kept going, well, you know, Malcolm, come on in. Kat, come on in. I saw there was a huge accident at Oakland Park Boulevard on 985. Malcolm Butters, our keynote speaker, our keynote sponsor. Thank you so much, Malcolm and Kat. We love you guys. Looking hot as always. Malcolm, keep the guys away from her. Finally, the gentleman from New York decided he's just going to come down and meet us in person. He comes down, meets us in person, nothing happens. He goes back to New York, he keeps sending us deals, and one night it's 7 o'clock at night, and I'm working my butt off, and he calls me, and he goes, why are you so stressed? It can't be just work. And I told him, no, it's not work. It's a lot of things going on besides work. And I told him my wife needs a kidney transplant. He goes, do you know the people from Project Renewal? I go, yeah, I've been after them for a year. I finally got them to answer the phone. And now I'm one of the 350 people in their stack. And, you know, that's it. He goes, wait. Go to their website. Look at this guy, David. I go, okay, fine. David Shusher. He goes, we're calling him. You know David. Pay us and all. I love that guy. David Shusher. And we called him. And suddenly, I wasn't one of 350. I was one. And they tell me that they have 350 people waiting for a kidney, but only one that desperately is searching. Only one that's desperately searching. And that's why we have Menachem. And we have AJ. And all, their whole team working day by day to help us with the... come on in, Stevie. Come on in. Steve, I love you. And so... that's how I found this guy. It was God sent to me. And I suddenly became involved with... Vivian's telling me to slow down. No, Vivian, you hear this all the time, but nobody else does, and they want to know. How I found Ari? I have no idea. How did I find you? I just connected with you. Social media. Hashem put us together. I love you, Ari. Alina, Vivian found you.
Yeah.
Okay. And Carla Daskal, and my friend Nina. I walked in for the event, and who's there? Nina Beninsky. I hadn't seen her since I graduated college. We used to ride around in the back of Sam's car and do what teenagers do with to relax, let's say it that way. My good friend Nina. So what's every day like to me? I'm almost done. I'm almost done with the monologue. What's every day? No, not yet. Every day I wake up and I look at 5,000 closed doors, and I have to open up each one of those doors. And what's behind those doors? 5,000 more closed doors. So people go, what's it really like, Jim? And this is the visual that you're going to get. It's like Vivian is caught in a rip current off of the coast. And I have swum in to Ket to save her. But she's under such duress that I keep going under and I'm drowning. And the shore is full of people that want to help. The people on the internet. And they throw us the line. And the line, we're 10 feet out. The line is 8 feet long. And I'm swimming to grab it, but I just can't get there. But everybody wants to help, and we're going to get there. It's just somebody's going to find us the line that's 10 feet long, and that's what today's all about. Vivian preps dinner for me every night, but she couldn't last night for the first time ever because the medications they're giving her are starting to become too strong for her to function. She was driving to the beach on the causeway the other day, and she called me and goes, I'm going on the causeway, but I don't know where I'm going. I go, so pull off, relax, and come home. Because this is starting to affect her. I'm going to have to tell him, cognitively. Yesterday, last night, in that crazy, you asked me four times within 1 minute whether I ate. After you saw me eat, you sat next to me and watched me eat. And she forgot. So we need to come together as a community to save this woman's life. I'm wrapping up. Are you happy? Yes, that's right. Together, we can do it. Alone, I obviously just can't. No matter how strong and powerful I am, honey, I can't do it alone. God wouldn't let me. I tried, but I can't donate a kidney. So we all have to come together and find the way for Vivian to get her kidney. And you have. Every single person in here has made a commitment, is committed. So we can do it. You can get tested if you think you're in good physical condition and are motivated. You can get tested to be a donor for Vivian. You can register. There's up front, there's forms. You can email renewal R1125 at renewal.org. It's flashing around up there. We got forms up front that you can fill out if you don't want to test. If you want to donate money, there'll be ways to donate. Ari's going to have a book signing, and he'll have stuff there where you can donate. How can you help? You read Ari's book and you share the story. So with that, I want to introduce our next speaker. Alina, would you come up and please set the spiritual tone and talk about a little bit about what prompted you to found... You could sit there. You don't have to get up. You're beautiful. You've got to do whatever you want to do. It's all about being yourself, isn't it? Isn't that part of what you do this for? So here, you take this.
Stop trying to figure out my there phone. You go. Put it away. You don't have to, just put it away. Hi, I'm Alina Villasante. I'm the founder of Peace Love World, and he overrates me. I'm just a human being with a really big heart who met this woman one day, and I mean, as we all know, I mean, who is not touched by what's happening to her? You know, last night I called her about today's event. And I said, tell me, you know, what I need to do and all that. And, you know, she couldn't really speak. And I go, Vivian, and I was having a little bit of a hard day. And I go, Vivian, how do you do it? And she says, you know, tonight I'm really in a lot of pain. I'm going through a hard time, this, that, and the other. And, you know, a lot of times you feel that somebody, that your people tell you, oh, you help me, you give me strength, you give me motivation. Many times when somebody is going through something like Vivian's going through, they're teaching you something. I'm not teaching Vivian anything. Vivian is teaching me about humanity. Vivian is teaching me about loving everyone, about everyone matters, we are all one. All those things that I preach in my fashion brand, they're real. They're real stories about real people, and nothing is something that I just woke up and decided to put some words together. It's really all about people that I've met and how they touched me in my life. And she's touched me very much. You know, it's funny. My brother tells me the other day, hey, how's your friend doing? And I go, what friend? And he goes, your friend that needs a kidney. And I said, oh, how do you know her? And he goes, well, I got the email and I put myself on the list. And I thought about, wow, how beautiful. So, she even elevated my love for my brother. But, you know, in this world and always, and we all know this and we all have to practice it, including myself, you know, love is everything. It's everything with your family, with your children, with your parents, with your friendships, with your acquaintances. And we're all here to teach each other something. And I have to tell you that I met this woman at my warehouse sale. As any human being would do, she thinks I did this miracle, but I didn't. She was sick in line, and I went to get her. And, you know, immediately she was there buying all the pillows and being crazy Vivian. And I fell in love with her because, you know, she's real, she's transparent, she's caring, she's loving. And I did what any human being would do, is I opened my heart to her. And she's taught me a lot, because in the moments when I am struggling with anything, as we all do, because I don't think anybody has a perfect life, you know, I think about a woman like this that gets up and has a smile on her face and loves her family and is fighting for something that is so difficult, because I can't imagine, you know, struggling with what she has taught me really to be a better person and to appreciate people and to, more than anything, to really be empathetic towards everyone else and, you know, love each other and be there for each other. And, you know, everybody here taking the time out to come, it's so important because it means so much to this one person. So all I have to say is, you know, just keep fighting for her, keep loving her, keep helping her be the most positive person I've ever met, because she's truly a beautiful, beautiful human being. And I'm honored to be sitting up here, chosen by her as a speaker, because I honestly don't feel that I deserve this pedestal that she's put me on. She's a really beautiful person, and God bless her.
Okay. First, I met Alina 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I was at the warehouse sale, yeah, and I came from dialysis, and there were lines and lines and lines. And I said, can I meet Alina Villasante? And somebody pulls up, she goes, sure, you can meet Alina Villasante. And this woman comes out running, and I go, Alina, I want to introduce myself. I go to your Miami Beach store, and I'm friends with Mimi, and I go, look, I'm on dialysis. I need you to help me. I love your clothes. I love wearing it. She goes, don't worry. Just get in front. You'll go straight in. What do you want? I said, I want this and I want that and I want pillows. She went in the back. She brought me all these pillows. She went backwards. She says, look, I'm going to give you my cell phone here. Call me whatever you want. This is a woman that's, everyone is dying to meet her. She's there. Thousands of people are there. You can't even get into the warehouse because there's lines there. And she was amazing. And I found this letter that I wrote her. Right after that, 2 weeks later was my birthday, and she took me out. And I wrote like this, dearest hero, thank you so much for spending such a beautiful evening with me. You made my dream come true. Remember the feeling when Oprah walked into your home? That was the feeling I had when you walked into my life and rocked my world. You're with me since I started my journey by inspiring me with your clothes. You're on my mind and fighting with me each step of the way. I take you everywhere with me. Your clothes makes me feel so good, gives me energy. Your scarves, your purses, your pillows, the briefcase, and now you rolled out perfume, and I have it. I love it. And now she has jewelry, and I have it on. Anyways, hold on. Thank you again for spending time and for a beautiful dinner. I can't wait to see you again soon. I love you so much, and I love what you created so that I can enjoy my journey in my peace, love world. Love you, my princessa. That's what I call her. Anyways, so I wanted to also take the time and thank, first of all, one of our biggest sponsors, Malcolm Butters, who I've known since college and who came all the way down with his beautiful wife from Boca. I feel so special, Malcolm, and I can't even imagine. I mean, you're unbelievable. Your wife is amazing, Catherine. Catherine, if I call her from dialysis, she picks up the phone. She's an amazing human being, both of them. I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank the Warren Henry family also, who's been through my journey each and every way. Larry has been with me since day one. He's always supporting us. We love them so much. I want to thank each and every one of you because each one is so special in every way. I want to thank Carla Descal because Carla opened this place hugely for me. She walked into my life. This girl is an angel sent from heaven. I know that today it's 1 year that I said goodbye to my father. And I know that her father and my father are up there watching over us and seeing all this, because we couldn't have done it without them. And I love you, Carla, from the bottom of my heart. You mean the world to me. I would do anything and everything for you. I don't know. And lastly, I want to thank you, honey. I want to thank you for everything. I don't know what I would do without you. You're the soul. You're my soul. I can't even imagine not waking up to you. You're there every second of my day fighting with me, 24/7. You wake me up with a huge big kiss and a huge hug. That's the way every single day since I've met my husband, he wakes me up. I love you so much. You're my everything. And now I give this to Ari. Ari, I love you too. You've inspired me and you've taught me what kindness is all about.
Wow. Thank you. Is it all right if I stand up?
You can do whatever you want,
Ari. Okay. Wow. Do you guys feel the love in this room? It's unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. And I'm honored, I'm humbled to be able to be a part of this evening, to be able to sit next to this incredibly beautiful woman inside and out, and to have the opportunity to just be so inspired. I was offended by the slide, Jim, that you put up, which said Ari is a hero. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that. I love you, though, to quote you. I love you. But as someone who is a kidney donor, for me, it was a very private journey. I did not just wake up one day and say, hey, why don't I take a vital organ and give it away to a total stranger? Anyone who does that should not be a kidney donor. It's a process. And for me, I woke up one day and I recognized the following idea. There are people around us in this world who suffer every single day. When you look at somebody, God forbid, who has a cancer diagnosis, it's difficult and it's a fight. But you stand on the sidelines and you say, you know, what can I do? There really isn't much that others can do other than cheer them on in their battle through the radiation, through the chemotherapy. And then you look at someone like Vivian Fried, someone amazing who is battling end-stage renal disease, who needs a kidney. And it occurred to me, this isn't like every other disease. I can do something about this. I have the cure. I have the solution. If you saw someone, let's say a child, who falls into a pool and they're drowning, is there anyone in this room who would just simply keep walking, look away, Certainly not. Even if you didn't know how to swim, you would say, what can I do? How can I help? And for me, the decision to donate a kidney was not to donate a kidney. It was to ask, what can I do? To look at the pain of another person. To let them know that they're not alone. That someone, even a total stranger, can come into their life and share love and share support and prayers and good thoughts. And to let them know that we're here for you in whatever way we can be helpful. And if, maybe, just maybe, at the end of that journey of exploring what can I do to help, one comes to the conclusion that I did, to say, well, I was born with two kidneys. Medically speaking, a person only needs one kidney to live. In fact, research shows that kidney donors live longer than the regular population. As Jim mentioned before, to be a kidney donor, you have to be a subset of the population that's pre-screened for better health. So that contributes to that research. But you could live a long, healthy, productive, fruitful, wonderful life with one kidney. And if you come to the decision that says, I will therefore be willing to give one of them away, because what's the alternative? So I'll live a long life, hopefully, and I'll have two kidneys. And when it's all over, I'll be put into the ground with two kidneys. And I thought about that as the person standing on the side of the pool holding the life preserver, saying, I could throw it to the drowning victim, but I may want to hang on to it just in case. Now, the truth is, if you were out on a boat, you may say, I should hang on to a life preserver because you never know what's going to happen. I might need it. But the fact that we have the capacity to struggle with these questions of our humanity, to ask ourselves, what is the value of one life? What are we willing to do? To love means to give. What are we willing to do to express that love, to put that into the universe and say, I care about a total stranger? So for me, when I recognized I've got this extra kidney, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. In fact, someone came up to me tonight and they said, oh, so you donated a kidney. You must have had a relative that needed it. My answer was no. Most people, that's how they come to kidney donation. Someone taps them on the shoulder and says, come to a beautiful event. Let's have an honest conversation. For me, I recognized I was holding this life preserver and it meant the difference between life and death for one person in the universe. And so I began my own process, my journey of exploring, and it was brutal because I had to do so much soul searching. Am I willing to endure pain? Am I willing to take risk? I am a risk-averse person. Whenever our family goes to an amusement park, I'm the guy who says, I'll watch everyone's bags. You all go ahead without me. I had never donated blood prior to giving a kidney because, oh, I don't like needles. But the love that I had in my heart was much bigger than that. And I knew that I could make a difference. And so I made one decision. You know what that decision was? Let me explore. The exploration meant I was willing to be tested. For all I knew, I'd be disqualified. And then I can put this whole Meshuggah idea behind me and move on with my life. But once I realized that I'm in pretty decent shape, maybe I could in fact be a kidney donor, I went through the process of testing and step after step after step. I was waiting for them to call me and say, sorry, you've been disqualified. You know what I would have done? Oh, well, I get the points for trying. But that's not what happened. At every stage of the testing, and this is over the course of a year, I took my time researching this. They said, yeah, you seem like a great candidate. I said, really? And it progressed and it progressed. And finally, when it came time to make that decision, by the way, I had to tell my wife that I was even thinking about this. Coming up on my 19th anniversary, this is not the type of thing you do without telling your spouse. So if anyone's thinking about it, rule number one, communicate. So I had to sit down and talk to my wife about it. And her wisdom was brilliant because she said to me, don't make the decision to donate. Just take it one step at a time. And that became my mantra. Let's just explore this. No decisions. If after everything's said and done, I decide I want to donate, I'll make that decision later. And then, as I progressed, I had to talk to my children. Now, we've got four great kids. My oldest is 17, my next is 14, and then, yeah, I'm old. And then, and then we've got 10-year-old twins. They're awesome. And this is about 5 or 6 years ago. We sat down as a family, and we were going to have this conversation. We're putting it all on the table because if the kids said, this is crazy, don't do it, we were not going to go ahead with it without the kids' support. So we sat down, talked to the kids about how, look, God created us with these organs and we can live and you can give one away and save another person. In Hebrew, we call that a mitzvah. You do a good deed. And I remember the tears filling up in the eyes of my children when I told them, and they were so freaked out. They said, this sounds really scary to have a surgery. Like, please don't do that. And I remember looking at my wife and I said, well, I guess that's the end of the journey. Kids made the decision for us. It's over. At that point, one of my kids said to me, well, can I ask you, who is it you'd be giving your kidney to? And I explained to them that I had just been matched with a total stranger, a woman who was a single mom. She had three kids. Her mom had actually died when she was a teenager from the same kidney disease. And she was running out of time. And my kids at that point looked at each other and they wiped the tears from their eyes. And they looked at each other and smiled. And then started nodding their head and said, yeah, I think you should do it. And I said, wait a second, guys. You can't just change your mind. This is a major decision. And what my oldest son, Reuven, said to me at the time was divinely inspired. It gave me the strength I needed to move forward because he looked at me and he said the following. He said, Dad, if you have this surgery and something goes wrong and you die, we're going to be very sad and we're going to miss you, but at least we'll have Mommy to take care of us. If this woman doesn't get a kidney, she's going to die and her children will be orphans. And for that reason, you should give her your kidney. To realize the level of love, of empathy, the innocence that a child can have. How much more so do we have the capacity to look at a person who's drowning and say, I'm willing to take a risk because one life is worth it. And so in the book that I wrote, The Kidney Donor's Journey, the subtitle is 100 Questions I Ask Before Donating My Kidney. Because I'm not here to tell you that you should donate. I'm here to encourage you to ask, what is one life worth? What are you willing to do? Are you going to stand on the sidelines and watch another person gasp for air, knowing that there's something you could do? You could pray. You could visit. You could sit with Vivian during dialysis. You could read the book. You can answer the 100 questions. You can think about your own journey and say, well, let me just get tested. Let me read the book and pass it on to a friend and have them pass it on. But we don't have forever. The clock is ticking, as Jim mentioned, and we have to do something. This is the time to act. I was taught when I was a child that there's an ancient Jewish gem of wisdom which states that one who saves a life, it's as if, does anyone know the end of the phrase? Excellent. You save the whole world. Jim, your mother is a very learned woman. It's as if you save the whole world. Could you imagine being responsible for saving all of humanity? Now I understand why you call me a hero, but I don't feel it. I love you too, man. But I'll tell you when I first understood what the Talmudic dictum means when it says that It's like you saved the whole world. I met my kidney recipient at the hospital, and oh my gosh, it's like we've known each other our whole lives. She looked at me, and just with tears flowing down her cheeks, she just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I kind of looked at her and said, well, you're welcome. What do you say? This is kind of all new, and it's a little bit awkward of a dance.
We'll be right back with more of this inspiring, special Freed on Business live event from Sacred Space, Miami.
This is a Muni Minute with Roland Stover, president of Stover Glass Wealth Management. Mr. Stover brings more than a quarter century experience in trading financial products, specializing in municipal bonds, giving him vital insights into the workings of global financial markets.
Comparing the ratings of municipal bonds can be misleading. For example, hospital's A-rated bond is obviously weaker than the A-rated general obligation bond of the town in which it is located. Investors looking at ratings only and not differentiating among the types of bonds may get less value for their money. The knowledgeable investor considers the type of municipal bond more than the rating and can increase yield without sacrificing quality. General obligation bonds have a claim on property taxes, and established utility revenue bonds are backed by income from the sale of essential services, offering an extra level of security.
This has been a Muni Minute presented by Stover Glass Wealth Management, a full-service firm that serves high-net-worth individuals through custom portfolios based on risk tolerance and needs. Visit Stover Glass on the web at www.stoverglass.com. That's StoverGlass.com.
This is a Bloomberg Market Minute. Stocks took another step backward, and there are several factors getting the blame for the losses of a tenth to about a half percent. The Dow fell 15, the Nasdaq 29, the S&P 5. Strategists say investors are still digesting the Fed's move to raise interest rates, with plans for more of the same later this year, as well as reports that said President Trump himself is now under special counsel investigation. And tech stocks, it turned out, have not regained their footing after all. Ed Dyke of North Shore Wealth Management said, really, they're overvalued because investors doubled down with oil prices falling.
Money was rotating out of oil and into tech stocks and probably extended them way past where they should be.
And oil prices fell a little further to $44.66 a barrel. Energy shares are also getting tagged for dragging the averages. Turns out Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees is almost as hot as his jersey. Judge leads the major league in home runs and now has claimed the top spot in jersey sales. I'm Joan Doniger, Bloomberg Radio.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
IT orchestration stories from CDW. A medical supply company had people in multiple locations using multiple devices and multiple platforms. So CDW orchestrated a secure digital workspace using VMware Workspace ONE on Dell devices. It empowers end users with consumer simple access to applications and resources to be productive from anywhere. Digital Workspace by VMware. Orchestration by CDW. Learn more at cdw.com/VMware. CDW. People who get it.
Del Wamsley says you have to take risks to make it big.
Credit, the one thing that can change your life and make it incredible and allow you to make millions of dollars, he says, don't use. Do not go in the street. You may get hit by the credit car. Wow. See, to me, that's just ignorant. You should play in the street, but learn to play in the street safely.
The Del Wamsley Show, weekdays at noon on 880 The Biz.
Kiddo, worry-free smoke and carbon monoxide alarms offer 10 years of protection and no late-night battery chirps. And they're designed to help you choose the right alarm for the right location. Don't wait. Buy Kiddo worry-free fire alarms today at the Home Depot. Kiddo, technology that saves lives.
880 The Biz. Time saver traffic.
Southbound 95 past Oakland Park. Fire rescue activity continuing to block three right lanes. Heavy delay starting back near Atlantic Boulevard. Southbound Turnpike moving at a better pace in that same stretch. Crash on the westbound Dolphin and Northwest 12th Avenue. Right lane blocked. It's jammed from I-95. Northbound Palmetto ramp from Sunset Drive partially blocked by a broken down vehicle. The support of service of the Foundation for a Better Life. That's your South Florida traffic.
WCAB Sweetwater.
is 880 The Biz, where money talks. A service of Salem Media Group and part of the Wall Street Business Network. On Twitter at 880 The Biz.
And welcome back to this special Freed on Business live event from Sacred Space, Miami.
And they find out I'm a kidney donor. The first question they ask me is, are you crazy? Maybe a little bit. We often say about us kidney donors that we are all missing one part and have a lot of loose screws. But the reality is that the relationship, the bond, is so incredible that Ronit and I are like one soul. To have that connection with another human being on that spiritual level, she walks around, and when she goes places in Israel, and she tells people, you know, you should stand up when I walk in the room. And they say, why? She goes, because I'm half rabbi. I built a bond with her, her family, her children, her extended family. There is something so magical about being able to give of yourself. Not a day goes by where I don't feel like, sounds weird, I got the better end of the deal. Because my life is so incredibly enriched because of what I was able to give to another person. And somebody asked me while we were noshing on some sushi and having some beer before, has this affected your life? The answer is, I'm drinking beer and noshing on sushi. I'm doing pretty well. But no, I feel great. I run a couple of miles a day. I'm in better shape now than I was before I gave a kidney. I feel good physically. I feel good spiritually. The connection I have to my children, my family, my community, because of this experience, has been incredible. And so I'm happy to take questions afterwards. I'm going to turn it back to you, Jim. But I just want to let you know that we are very blessed tonight to have a very generous sponsor who's enabled everyone here to go home with their own signed copy of the book, The Kidney Donor's Journey. Please don't leave without it. My email address is in the back of the book. Contact me. Sign up not to give a kidney, but just saying I'm open if you're inclined to get tested, to explore and know, I don't know, what's my blood type? Am I a match? Then I can decide if I in fact want to do something. And even if you're not the same blood type as Vivian, that's okay. We could still make it work. But I just want to leave you today with this message of saying, whatever you decide to do, let's do something. Let's not go through life and ignore the drowning victim, the person who's suffering, knowing that you're holding the keys to another person's salvation. When you're done with the book, pass it on. Email 3 or 4 friends. The book's on Amazon if you want to encourage other people to get it. But let's make sure that we don't stop to take just one page out of Jim's playbook. We should not sleep, we should not stop, we should not rest until this incredibly beautiful woman receives the kidney that she needs and that she deserves. Thank you very much.
I love you too, man. You know, and you see the photo up there, it keeps rolling over about the 50-something living donors, because it's, you know, as much as I say that, you know, Ari, you're such a cutie pie. As much as I say that the living donor is a unicorn, they're in our community. You just have to kind of look for them. Like I said, I have a friend, Jeff, who I see at a lot of the real estate events, who's a living donor. Sandy, you were standing next to me when I said hello to him. Okay. And, you know, I also invited a friend that's a beautiful person, my friend Greg, who has done some magnificent things for not only myself, but other people in the room. And Greg is married to one of the strongest, most wonderful people that I've ever met. And Greg's, you know, part of a family that contains a kidney donor. Greg's wife was a kidney donor. And I don't know, Beanie, would you like to say anything, or you just want to sit in the back and be invisible, which you're not anymore? There's Beanie Mason, mother of how many, Beanie? 4, mother of 4. Can you be a mom to all 4 of them? How long you been a kidney donor? Okay, how do you feel? Can I tell your story? If you want to come up and tell it, or you want me to tell it? All right, so here's Beanie's story. You heard Ari. Ari's just like every other freaking kidney donor. They all want to give their kidney to a mother of three who's homeless, blind, and has two dyslexic kids, and one of whom has a real big learning disability. So they go out there, and they're looking for that person. I had to say something funny. Come on. We needed a little break, didn't we? And so they're all looking for that perfect person to match up with, and Beanie started her search before there was a group like Renewal. So I guess Beanie was sort of on your own. You got started because your friend had cancer, and so you decided you made the commitment, and once you decided you were going to do it and you didn't match, Beanie is the magical person that's going to donate to somebody else that she doesn't know. And she went on a journey for how many years? 3 years, looking for somebody to match up with. And finally, she decided to say, the heck with it, she's going to call the IDF, and she's going to give it to a member of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. And so the member of the IDF, Jeffrey, come on in. There's plenty of chairs. Oh, my God, look, they're all coming now. These are the guys that had to work for a living. This guy works for Greenberg. I can't even believe they let you out while the sun was still up. And so Beanie decided to give it to a guy from the IDF, a person. Didn't have to be a guy. Hold on, I got to put my crazy headphones on so I can listen to myself three different times. And Beanie decided she's going to give it to a member of the IDF, and they identified a person. The person, if I tell it wrong, Beanie can correct me, was an engineer in the tank division. And the engineer in the tank division, he got his kidney. And then what happened? Well, he came up with an idea. The idea was how to stop rocket-propelled grenades from hitting the tanks. And eventually, with a little extra work and a little extra engineering and a little extra U.S. help, that became Iron Dome. So Beanie, I call her the lady with the Iron Dome kidney. Beanie didn't save one person. Beanie didn't save a universe. Beanie saved a nation of universes and perhaps the world. I don't want to extrapolate it that far, Beanie, but I think everybody gets the picture. The picture is that you never know what's going to happen when you donate a kidney. So I'm going to open it up now for questions. If anybody has any questions, if not, I'm going to do my radio shtick and ask questions. Anybody have a question? All right, I'm going to ask a question. Ari, we talked a little bit about how you wanted to have your kidney, and you went through a big discussion about your kidney. But how do you feel all this time after giving your kidney?
Honestly, I feel incredible. It was funny because leading up to the kidney, I'm just stand up here, leading to the kidney donation, my wife's a really good cook. So as you can imagine, I had carried with me a lot of the wonderful benefits of her cooking. And I thought for sure, going into the testing process, they were going to be like, dude, what's with that gut? You're like 35 years old and you're unhealthy. And I challenged myself and I said, man, if I want to go through with this process, it means that I care enough about others, shouldn't I take better care of myself? And take it one step further. If I was going to give a kidney, I wanted to do it right. So for me, I decided that it wasn't simply enough to say to someone, here's a semi like healthy, little bit fatty kidney, but it works. If I'm going to do it right. So I said, I want to give a kidney that's going to be trim, that's going to be healthy, that's going to be strong. And so I put myself on Weight Watchers. Thank you, Oprah. And I joined a gym. I started exercising. And for the first time in my life, I was fit. I dropped nearly 30 pounds leading up to this. Now, the experience that I had was also transformative from a mental, emotional, spiritual level, and I'll tell you why. I found myself, like, here I am, like this Jewish guy, I'm a rabbi, I've got a gut, I eat too much gefilte fish, and I'm like trying to get on the treadmill, and it's not a pretty sight. So day one, day two, day three, I'm pushing, let's go, Ari, you can do it. So like, I get the treadmill up to 4, 5, you know, that's like what we call a brisk walk. And I'm schwitzing, right? I'm dying. I'm like, oh, 10 minutes in, I'm like, can I just stop? Week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5. I'm jogging. I'm running. So next thing you knew, a few months in, I'm running a 7-8 minute mile.
And I'm pushing myself to the point where I knew that if I'm going to have the surgery, the kidney has to be healthy, and I need to be in the best physical shape of my life so that I can recover as quickly as possible. And I remember having the following thought, and this is love for you. This is love right here. I'm on the treadmill, and I want to stop. You know why? Because we all want to stop when we're on the treadmill. It's difficult. You're panting, you're breathing, you're out of breath, you're exhausted, your legs are burning. And I just said to myself, like, how could I stop knowing that I'm fighting for someone else's life? Let me repeat that. How could I stop knowing that I'm fighting for someone else's life? And you know what I did? I found a new gear. And I pushed myself stronger and harder and found within myself strength I never knew I had to keep pushing that speed, 7, 8 miles, 9 miles an hour, pushing myself, running, so that I can be healthier. But on a spiritual, emotional level, it reflected the journey that I was going through. Again, I didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'll give a kidney. It was the process. Every step that I took on that treadmill was part of that process. It was an expression of saying, I'm willing to hurt a little bit for another person. And the truth is, when we talk about pain, people often ask me, well, was it painful? The answer is no. Well, that's not true. It is painful, but they give you the really good drugs. It's like, wow, a whole different level. There was never a moment, and I talk about this in the book, there was never a moment where I felt like, oh my God, like, this is excruciating. Yeah, it's tough. It's surgery. It knocks you out. But a week later, I'm out there walking around the block. 2 weeks later, I'm picking up the pace. A month later, I'm jogging again. I was back to work within 2-3 weeks. And so everyone has to know their own body, but the transformation that comes along with giving a kidney is not only a physical one. It's an emotional one, and it's also a spiritual one.
All right, now I want to ask a question here. Excuse me, sir. What's your name?
Jerome.
And Jerome, why did you come tonight?
Because my mom was invited.
And what's your name?
Noah.
And Noah, why are you here?
Because my mom was invited.
And why? Why?
And what do you think about Vivian?
What do you think about me?
Oh.
Okay, I think that says it all. Listen, I know everybody's been sitting here for a long time. Maybe you'd like to go get something to eat, something to drink. So why don't we take a break? Everybody go over and get something to drink, and we'll keep asking questions because we have the mic and they can hear us while we're doing that. All right, does that work for you, Ari?
Perfect.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. There's a whole kind of great food to eat in the other room. There's all kinds of beer and wine. Ari's going to go out front.
I want to say one thing. First, I want to thank Daphne. That's the woman that keeps me looking like this. Because without her, I would look like a wreck. Every time they open their doors to their salon, it's like my family. And I also want somebody very special in my heart is here. Jeffrey Tenen. Where's Jeffrey? Jeffrey's there. That's my brother from another mother. He's the one that takes care of my mother, our family. We love him. He's an angel. And he's been through my journey day in and day out. I love this guy. He's my brother. He's a true, true brother. I love you, Jeffrey.
All right. Well, Vivian's telling everybody she loves him, and I'm telling you I'm going to show you I love you because I'm going to let you go eat and drink right now.
And I love my Noah. Noah, how much do you love me? Tell them.
One.
One? Too many or one too much?
One too many.
Okay.
It's okay. Come on. Okay, David, everybody, thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Go on in there. Have food. Have drink. Ari and I will keep talking while he's out front signing books. So out front where you registered, Ari's going to be out there signing books. So make sure you go out, get your copy of the book. Meet Beanie Mason so that you can prove that there's another one out there. Greg, I want to thank you so much. Everybody, thank you so much for coming. Go mix, go mingle, go have a spiritual time. Ari will be out there in the front signing books, and I'll be asking some more questions. So, Ari, you go out there. Let's roll. Now, just so everybody can realize, yes, sir. Hey, Noah, are you guys going to go with me to the All-Star game? Do you guys like baseball? Yes, you like baseball? Are you going to come with me to the part of the All-Star game where you can run the bases and stuff? Will you promise? Okay, good. All right, Mom, thank you for coming. We love you so much. Alina, thank you so much for coming. You're the greatest. Thank you. Mwah. Thank you for everything. Oh, there you go. Thank you so much. Everybody go out front. I got to like kind of sort of do a radio show for another 20 minutes or so. So we're going to go do that. John, thank you so much for coming. Joe, give me a hug.
I love you.
Traffic was crazy.
I know.
Streets blocked.
Everything is screwed. The president's probably even.
It took us an hour to get here, but we made it.
So lifetime, took you a lifetime to get here.
Yeah.
That's what it did. It took a lifetime. Joe George, who's been terrific, go have some sushi. Go have some food.
We brought a rose of friendship and health and hope.
That's so beautiful. Joe, I love you. Thank you, Stan, for coming. I love you, man.
I know.
You're being here. Every single person. I want to thank every single person who came because every one of you has given a brick in the wall that helps my wife stay strong. Everybody. Thank you. Oh, my God. I love you. You know that.
Happy to be here for you.
Listen, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Yeah. Guys, do some business. Do some business. I love you. I love you. Make money together. Steve, thank you so much. Thank you. I don't know if you heard earlier when I talked about the person that was having a struggle with their kidney. Not directly. You know about this, right?
No.
So it's really great. I want to thank everybody for coming to the Show Viv Love event. Steve, I love you. I know traffic sucks. Eh? You got to go back home. It's all right. It's all right. Oh, here they are. Here they are. Hold on. Is that Daphne Evangelista? Can I meet Daphne Evangelista? We're on the radio live, Daphne. I want to thank you so much for helping at Vivian Fried right over there. Sandy, I love you. Look at Vivian with her rose of friendship and love. Look at that. You're like the hero today. But, Daphne, I want to talk to you for a minute. Okay? I want you to express to everybody what you feel when you do Vivian's hair and help her look beautiful. What does that mean to you?
I feel grateful because she has a good heart. She's a very, very special woman. So she make me feel better when I'm doing her hair. I feel super good. I'm thinking I can give to her like a beauty, makeup, stuff and everything. She's feeling very good, but she makes me feel better than her.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Daphne. I love you. And this is my special boyfriend. Noah, say hi.
Noah said hi. I already promised to take Noah to the All-Star festivities for little kids. And are you the ladies from Daphne? Are these the ladies that work with you?
Yeah, all of them are my heroes.
These are the people that create the environment for you to feel special and love.
Oh, this one's a famous dancer, Edis.
Why don't you introduce me to each one?
Edis is the famous dancer. She's beautiful, the assistant. And she's the one that takes the boyfriends away. So I have to be careful with you.
No, you don't.
Daphne, right?
I'm a one-man woman.
We have to be very careful because she will take me, she'll take you away. This is Talita. Talita runs the show in Daphne's salon.
That's why
she's
amazing. Get to know so I can get
a
haircut.
She needs a haircut and he needs Manny and Patty. He wants to go. This is the beautiful Mariana. She sells the jewelry. So you have to go there and buy me some jewelry.
Okay, she knows what you want, right?
Yeah, she knows exactly what I want. And this is Priscilla. Priscilla helps me stay beautiful too. She's awesome.
There's nothing more beautiful than that. And Daphne.
And here's a rose for you.
Thank you, honey. You're my rose. I love you so much. And Daphne, thank you so very much. It's such a blessing what you do. And I want you to know is that she struggles to get to your facility. You know, she goes to dialysis. She gets up at 6 in the morning on Saturday. And then she comes home and she passes out in that bed. And she gathers her strength for hours just so that she can go see you and become made beautiful again. So you help repair her whole body and soul so she can go through all the crap that she has to go through every day. And so I want to thank you so much for everything. You're a blessing to us. All of you are a blessing. I can't thank you enough for coming so very much. Now you go out and have a good time and have some sushi and some food and all that other stuff. All my good friends are out there. How much more time do we have on the show? I got to take a look. How much more time, Chris? I know it's not enough. What time is it? I don't know what time it is. Guys, 2 minutes? 2 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 minutes? Half hour? Oh, boy. Oh, it's only 7:24. All right. Well, listen, I'll keep going. That's fine. I want to thank Jim for donating it all. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, this is Jim. Thanks, Christine. I forgot. This is Jim Freber broadcasting live from the Sacred Space in Wynwood. It's a great event to help show Viv love and to help get her a kidney donor. It's absolutely great. We're going to go over where Ari Seitner is signing books. And I want to thank Ari and the rest of the team for coming today. I want to thank, of course, my friends from, there you go, from Boardroom PR. Absolutely great. I want to thank Joe. Joe, thank you so much. Joe, what is it that you do, and why are you a guardian?
I represent guardians. I used to be a guardian. I represent guardians, and we represent those who need help taking care of themselves. And we've just been fortunate in Dade County to pass a new guardian advocate expansion law that's been unanimously expanded by the Florida Court Technology Commission, working with the clerk of the court, our friend Harvey Rubin, and they've unanimously endorsed expanding the ability of just regular folks that need to become guardian advocates of their children not to have an attorney, and there's no filing fee. And in those cases where the parents need to become guardians of their children, it will soon be law in Dade County, again, that there's no fee and there's no attorney. And it's called Simplifying Access to Courts for Parents Caring for Disabled Children. So it's near and dear to my heart, and it's related to the great work you do in trying to get volunteers and donors to help out.
Yeah, my mom was a guardian ad litem. You should run in and find her. She's a little lady that is like wearing a crazy outfit. I want to thank Sonny. Sonny, thank you for coming. I love you, man, and I hope Gene is feeling better. I got to go out front and get a couple of photos of Ari signing his book, because we're going to wrap up in just a couple of minutes on the radio. Oh, Donna. There she is. Oh, look at all the sushi. Gil, thank you for coming, Gil. Thank you for coming. It meant the world to her. Thank you so much for contributing, too. You guys are the best. Best. There they are. There they are. Oh, yeah. Gotta love you guys. Gotta love you. Thank you for... Thank you. Thank you. You still got to come back to my house, you know. You still got to come back to my house. There he is. There he is. Malcolm Butter. Oh, here we go. Malcolm, we're almost wrapping up the radio show. If you could just say a couple of words. Malcolm is our keynote sponsor for the event. Malcolm, just a little bit about why you thought it was important to sponsor tonight's event.
Well, first of all, Jimmy, it's an honor to be here and to be a sponsor. Yes. And my lovely wife, Catherine Butters.
Hi.
So, I mean, just like Ari said, I mean, to give back something to me is so important. So in a world where you're blessed with being healthy and being successful, it's almost mandatory to give back, to do nothing. And like the rabbi said, to sit on the sidelines is to be, like the rabbi would say, a shanta. That would be a shame. So it's my pleasure, Jimmy, to be a part of this event, and anything we could do to help you and Viv is always on the foremost of our agenda.
I want to thank everybody for attending tonight's event. Thank the folks at 8:80 a.m. for donating the time. It's been an amazing event, and it's just terrific. Now I'm going to go. I'm going to become part of the event, and I want to toss it back to the studio. Thank you so much, 8:80 a.m. for sponsoring, and I really do appreciate the time that you guys gave us today. So back at you. Regan, it's all yours.